This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, this week on Cross Hope, we begin a message series entitled The Final Week. It's all about events that happened in the last week of Christ's life on this earth, as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. We start with the study of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem from Matthew 21. Let it speak to you all this week, as well as the entire series called The Final Week. Just because you're in the middle of a crowd doesn't necessarily mean that you understand what's going on in the crowd. Just because you're in the middle of a crowd doesn't mean you are for whatever the crowd seems to be for. Just because you're in the middle of a crowd doesn't mean you're against what the crowd is against. Several years ago, Annie and I went to Ireland to see Elizabeth, our daughter, and her husband Colby when they were living in Dublin, Ireland. And one night Elizabeth said, "We're going to a restaurant," which really was what they call a pub, but it was a family restaurant as far as I was concerned, "and we're going to watch a rugby game on TV." She said, "The place will be packed," and it was. You couldn't find a place to sit or stand. It was England against Ireland. It was a big deal. I have no interest in rugby whatsoever. It's a very violent sport, if you're familiar with it. I'm sitting there with these people I don't know in a culture I'm not familiar with, but yet, every time they applauded, I applauded. Every time they lifted up their hands for Ireland, I lifted up my hands for Ireland. Every time they stood up, I stood up. I was part of a crowd, but I didn't realize what was going on. I didn't appreciate what was going on. Come with me back the first Sunday, the very first Sunday I was in Atlanta, Georgia, starting my ministry. Annie was not there yet. She was still in Texas. And in that afternoon, they were promoting on television, I think it was called the Midtown Music Rally in Atlanta. It was a big deal, a big music fest, where there were different venues at every corner, and there would be jazz, and there would be blues, and there would be gospel, and you could go to this music fest and just go from venue to venue and booths of food, and it's just supposed to be a great event. And people said, "You ought to go to that. It's a big deal in Atlanta." I said, "How do I do that?" Several people said, "Well, Randy, go to the train station near the church, the MARTA station, ride the train downtown, and then just get off the train when you see people get off, just follow them." And I thought, well, that's simple enough. I'll just do that. It's exactly what happened. I watched, and the train car was full of people, standing room only. The doors opened at one particular stop. Everybody got off. I followed them. Saw TV cameras up ahead. I thought, man, this is a big deal. It wasn't the music festival. It was a rally to legalize marijuana. And this is my first Sunday as minister of the church. Today we're going to look at a story out of the life of Christ. We're in a series called 7 Days in History, the final week. On Sunday before the crucifixion, on Sunday before Good Friday, is what's called the triumphant entry, when Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of authority, a symbol of kingship, of a coming king. And people in the crowd are shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." You just heard the word used in the song, which means save now. All this praise and adulation. And get this, many, if not most, of those same people who were saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," on Friday were yelling, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him." Crowds can be fickle. So can you. And so can I. Well, this message from Matthew 21, from the final week, the 7 days in history, the last week of the life of Christ, will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope, Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel. Well, now then, today, part two of a message we began yesterday, the first message of a series called The Final Week, looking at the last 7 days of Christ's life on this earth. We began by looking at the triumphal entry of Christ in Jerusalem from Matthew 21. Let's continue exactly where we left off yesterday.
Crowds can be fickle. So can you. And so can I.
We can change in what we like and change in what we're for. You've had relationships in your life, friendships. I really like him. I really like her. Can't stand her a week later. Can't stand him. You know what I mean? And we change in our opinions. We're fluid in our opinions of things and people. And I want to share this with you as we talk about the crowd. Jesus never wanted a crowd to follow him. He wanted disciples. Men and women and young people who came one at a time and said, Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's not looking for a crowd. He's looking for people like you and me to come to him one at a time. But let's read the passage. This is the beginning of seven messages in the last week of the life of Christ on earth. Matthew 21 is the text. We pick it up in verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, the Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, or to Israel, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, a sign of honor and homage to Jesus, while others cut branches from the trees like these up here and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save or save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who's this Jesus? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, to say the least, it's a dramatic scene. On the Sunday before the crucifixion. It's a dramatic scene where Jesus, I think, deliberately wants to fulfill that scripture in Zechariah 9:9 and say, I am who Zechariah predicted. And he comes riding into the city of Jerusalem on a colt, and people are laying down palm branches, and people are laying down their cloaks, and as a symbol of honor and respect and adulation and worship. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, praising who he was. And yet those same people said, crucify him days later. I don't think today that we have crowds that are necessarily hostile to Jesus, although I've met people that are hostile to Jesus. They won't have anything to do with Christ. In fact, in some conversations, you can talk about God all you want. You've noticed this, by the way, or you will if you try it. You can talk about God all you want, but the minute you bring up the name of Jesus, people are offended. They're offended. How dare you? Don't you realize it's not politically correct to talk about Jesus in 2013? Don't you realize that's out of step with the culture? Don't you get it? It's out of step with how we're living today. Well, we'll continue this message on the final week of Christ, talking about the triumphant entry tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you, and thanks for listening. I don't think today that we have crowds that are necessarily hostile to Jesus, although I've met people that are hostile to Jesus. They won't have anything to do with Christ. In fact, in some conversations, you can talk about God all you want. You've noticed this, by the way, or you will if you try it. You can talk about God all you want, but the minute you bring up the name of Jesus, people are offended. They're offended. How dare you? Don't you realize it's not politically correct to talk about Jesus in 2013? Don't you realize that's out of step with the culture? Don't you get it? It's out of step with how we're living today. I love what Charles Hendrickson writes about the crowds. The world today that we live in would just as soon forget about the King, Jesus. They want to put him on the shelf, push him out of sight, out of mind, get on with their lives, our busy, our distracted, our no need for God lives. Instead of cheering crowds or hostile crowds either, for that matter, now we're just busy crowds, bustling crowds. We're too busy to be bothered by Jesus or too bored to care about Jesus' crowds. What a vacuous lot we have become. We're overloaded with information, but we're starved for wisdom. Isn't that an interesting statement? In our culture today, 2013, we're overloaded with information, data, but we're starved for wisdom. All too busy, yet filling our lives with nothing. Junk food for the body, junk food for the mind, junk food for the soul. No time, no need for this man, Jesus. Who is this King of Glory? Don't bother me. I don't want to know. And then he adds parenthetically, so many people would say, let me get back to my iPhone, my iPod, or my iPad. What fools we have become. Let me get back to Netflix. Let me get back to Facebook. And as long as I have those things, my life is complete. My life is complete. Have you ever realized how much competition today in 2013 we have to share with people the gospel? There's so much visual data and information. There's so many distractions in our life. And we have plenty of information, but yet we're starved for the source of life, Jesus Christ himself. What I'd like to do is just point out a few things from this passage. I'd like to look at verse 6. I sometimes see things in verses that maybe other people don't see, but I saw something in verse 6 I want to talk about. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. If you had an imaginary conversation face-to-face with Jesus, and Jesus spoke to you and used your name and said, I'd like for you to do this or do that, would you do it? You know, everybody I've ever asked that question says, oh, of course, Randy. If Jesus were sitting across the table from me and he asked me to do anything, I would do it. And yet people, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, live in willful disobedience to this book. This is the word of God. It is the word of Christ. And Jesus does ask us to do things through his word, and we ignore it. Not only do not heed it, we totally ignore it. And I just find it intriguing. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. Question, what do you feel in your spirit, in your heart of hearts, that the Lord wants you to do, and you know it? But you won't do it. Some of you have felt prompted to forgive somebody, and that prompting did not come from your mind. It came from the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what you've said? Later. Never. Maybe. You realize all the excuses that you and I, both of us, give to the Lord for not doing what he asks us to do.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll be a little more specific in the questions that surround that verse 6 about doing what Jesus wants us to do. Well, today, part 4 of a message we began on Monday from Matthew 21 about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem the Sunday before his crucifixion. It's an interesting passage. In fact, we left off yesterday with verse 6 of Matthew 21, where it says that the disciples did as Jesus instructed them to do. We talked about your obedience and my obedience to what Christ has asked us to do.
What do you feel in your spirit, in your heart of hearts, that the Lord wants you to do, and you know it, but you won't do it? Some of you have felt prompted to forgive somebody, and that prompting did not come from your mind. It came from the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what you've said? Later. Never. Maybe. You realize all the excuses that you and I, both of us, give to the Lord for not doing what he asks us to do. You ever felt prompted to call somebody, but you didn't? Ever felt prompted to be an encouragement to somebody, but you didn't? I really meant to. I thought I should do that, but I didn't. We all have been there, and all I'm saying is this. Obedience is a choice. It's a decision. You decide to do what you feel the Lord is calling you to do. You decide to obey the word. It's simply a decision. He prompts, but the decision is ours. He speaks to our spirit, but the decision is ours. You remember when I talked to you about Christmas, about Carolyn Wharton, a woman from Pittsburgh whose stepdad had nothing to do with her, in fact, gave her up for adoption. And years later, he comes on Christmas Eve and asks for her forgiveness. And she said the grace to forgive him came from the Lord, but the decision was mine. What an insight. The grace to forgive him was from the Lord. He gives the power and the capacity to do it, but the decision was mine. What decisions do you need to make spiritually in 2013? Good question for you and for me. Just want to look at one more verse, verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Who is this Jesus?" I'm always interested in word meanings, as many of you know. I wanted to know, what's the word stirred in the Greek? I found out it was the word I thought it was. I thought it had something to do with the word seismos, and I was right. It's a word we get seismograph. It's a word that has to do with earthquakes. The whole city was shaken by the coming of Jesus. I want to suggest to you that when Jesus Christ comes into your life and forgives you, your life is shaken to the core. There's nothing more profound in a man's life or a woman's life than having your sins forgiven. If you know something more profound than that, tell me, because I don't know of anything. To come to the realization in the middle of the night, my sins are forgiven. Everything I've ever done is under the blood of Christ. That's profound. That is profound as it speaks to your heart in a powerful way. Your life can be stirred. Seismos, that stirring, that shaking can happen in your life spiritually. I think finding out you have hope beyond the grave is earth shaking. To wake up one morning and say, you know, it's not you live on this earth, eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die. There's life beyond the grave, and it's either with Christ or without. That's shaking my life to the core. It really is. It's shaking my life to the core.
Well, all this week you've been listening to the first message in a new series about the final week in the life of Christ, talking about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and all the ramifications of that and what it means for your life and mine. It'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel.
Noel is a man from Seattle, Washington. He grew up, I'm taking, or from deducing from his story, he's about 65 to 70. He said he was a teenager during the 60s, and he said as a teenage boomer, the 60s were full of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, making love, not war, and new age cults. Back then, he said, I thought that was it. It was everything. It was great. But something happened later on in his life, and it's interesting what he identifies as a change point in life. All of us have things that happen to us that become change points, and here's what he said. I thought this was interesting. My worldview began to change and evaporate on 9/11, 2001. He said, my views about drugs, sex, and rock and roll, that's the great thing of life, collapsed when the towers did. Wow, what an expression. Shortly thereafter, I accepted the fact that I would never find a perfect spiritual system. And after 50 years of absence, I rejoined the church, the body of Christ. I now choose to believe in one God and Jesus as his only son, knowing that his love is the only source of unconditional love has lifted a terrible burden of impossible expectations from both me and those I love. He said, before I believed in drugs, sex, rock and roll, cults. He said, now I believe in grace, mercy, forgiveness, and redemption. He said, that's what I live by. What a dramatic change happened in his life. He didn't come as a part of a crowd. He came as an individual sinner. And you know what he was? An individual dyer. Someone who's dying, just like you and just like me, who came to Christ and the Lord worked in his life and shook up his world through what happened on 9/11, 2001. Recently, I went over to Kettering Hospital. Some of you have been there and you know the lobby situation there. I was walking through the lobby, going to my car. When I saw a woman, I would say in her late 60s, early 70s, just sitting there with another couple of people, and as I walked by, she looked at me like she recognized me, and she got up. Big smile on her face, walked up to me and took both of her hands and grabbed my right hand and said, how are you? And I said, fine. I didn't have a clue who she was. But I've learned over the years, and I don't say this deceptively at all, I've learned, and this might help you in a situation, keep talking and eventually you'll figure out who they are. Keep asking questions and something will come up. So that's what I did. She said, how are you? Well, I've had the whooping cough in January. And I told her, and she said, oh, that's awful. And one question, I asked her a question, how has she been? And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she said, how's Betty? And I said, Betty who? Your wife. Oh, that Betty. That Betty. And I said, I'm not married to a Betty. I'm married to an Annie. And then this look of embarrassment came over her. And I felt bad for her. And she said, oh, I am so sorry. You're not the person I thought you were. After 5 minutes of conversation, you're not the person I thought you were. Nobody is. You aren't, neither am I. Today, I want you to look at yourself. Are you the man you claim to be spiritually? Are you the woman you claim to be spiritually? The Lord's not looking for you and for me to be a part of a crowd. Gang's all here. We're just having a great time worshiping the Lord. He's looking for men and women to come one at a time. People who recognize their sinners in need of forgiveness and who can discover what Noel discovered from Seattle, Washington. I now need grace and mercy and forgiveness and redemption. That's what life's all about. It really is. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today through Matthew 21 as we begin this new seven-week series, the final week. 7 days in history, looking at the last week in the life of Christ on this earth. I pray for people who need Jesus in their lives. That's why we're here. It's what it's all about.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.